Hello, I'm Michael Steve from Kaplan Financial, and in this podcast, I'd like to talk about tax and farming. Quite a few of you will have farming clients, and it's spurred on by me recently being in the wonderful county of Devon, down in Exeter, talking to some AAT members, and I've recently been speaking at a farming tax conference. I've decided to have a look at VAT and farmers, and we can talk about some of the other farming tax aspects, perhaps at a future date. I'm going to be talking about the supplies that are made by farmers, a quick look at the flat rate farmers scheme, a little bit on input tax recovery, and swiftly on to partial exemption, and finally some land and buildings issues. I've necessarily been a bit selective. There are lots of other things that we could have talked about. Let's start with the supplies made by farmers. We all know that basic foodstuffs are zero rated, and that goes for the stuff that farmers kick out the door as well. These are all in Schedule 8, of course, of the mighty VAT Act. It's milk, wheat, lambs, pigs, etc. And that's famous territory. They're all zero rated, but it's the same territory as Jaffa cakes and Marks and Spencer's tea cakes, and more recently, whether Pringles were potatoy enough. So that, of course, is some good reference to case law, which we all grew up with. So, most of the supplies made by farmers are zero rated. That's a tea supply at the rate of zero. And the good news about that, of course, is that gives us, subject only to the statutory bars, the right to have our input tax back. So farmers quite like VAT. It means they don't effectively charge it on the way out, and they recover nearly all of it on the way in. There's a but in here, though. And that is that there are some supplies which don't fall within that zero rating in Schedule 8 of the VAT Act. Let's have a look at some of the examples, and these, in my experience, do sometimes trip farmers up and they say, oh, I didn't realise I had to charge VAT. Now, what are these likely to be? The first one, camping and caravan pitches. Now, these cannot be zero rated, it's a supply in land. And as we will reinforce a little bit later in this podcast, they must be at the standard rate, currently 15%. Another T15 is going to be holiday accommodation. Again, that's within the statutory list that cannot be exempted, and that's a T15er. What about gaming and fishing rights? Sometimes farmers allow people to come onto their land to fish in streams and ponds, and they charge them accordingly. Again, that's not a T0 supply, that's a T15 supply, standard rate of VAT. If we let land, let's just say bare land, there are two possible VAT options. You either let it without an optioned tax, or you let it with an optioned tax. We'll come back to the option in just a sec. But if you let without an optioned tax, that is an exempt supply for VAT purposes, and that's likely to make you partially exempt, and we'll come back to that, of course, as well. By contrast, if you let land with an optioned tax, then that turns E-supplies into T15 supplies. There are another couple of areas that occasionally trip farmers up as well. The first of those is when they go contracting. They seem to think that everything's at T0. It's not. Contracting is a T15 supply. And sometimes you'll have hire of machinery, and that again is not subject to the zero rate. That is a standard rated supply. Okay, that's the basic supplies. Let's get fractionally more sophisticated for a second. What about the single farm payments? Are they subject to VAT? Well, I'm delighted to remind you that the receipt of a single farm payment is outside the scope of VAT. It's not consideration for a supply. And there's lots of case law which supports that, like the famous Apple and Pear Development Corporation case. And the key message for us is that we don't need to worry about VAT on receipts of such payments, but remind yourselves, please, that they are still very much subject to income tax or corporation tax, that is direct tax. If a farmer sells an entitlement to a single farm payment, then I might just want to add that that is a standard rated supply. Now, slightly controversially here, what happens when you sell an entitlement with land? You might sell land for, I don't know, £500,000 and then an entitlement to go with it. What's the VAT treatment of the entitlement to a single farm payment? Well, shades of the mixed versus composite supply argument here. Is it a single VAT treatment that covers the bundle, or is it that each element of the bundle takes its own VAT treatment? Well, HMRC have kind of changed their mind over this one, and I would recommend anyone dealing with that has a quick look at the HMRC website, because there are arguments for suggesting that the sale of an entitlement with land is still subject to standard rated VAT. So that's well worth a look on the website. Sometimes farmers barter. I like that. I do a bit of that myself. And so for VAT purposes, it could be that you're going to be selling, say, a tank of oil for some fertiliser. You're going to be doing a straight swap. Now, how do we deal with that if we're VAT registered? Well, in simple terms, it's a quasi-market value. Each side is making a supply. So if I'm giving away my fertiliser in return for which I'm receiving some oil, then I've got to think of the value of the fertiliser, which could range from the cost that I paid right through to the market value of the oil that I'm purchasing. So kind of faintly market valuations in there. Okay, so much for supplies. Let's have a quick look at the flat rate farmer scheme. This is a bit stylistic, and I wouldn't really recommend this for most farms in the UK, but there are a couple of farming related businesses that this might be of some interest, and I'm particularly talking here about market gardens and nurseries. Let's get the basics in place first. The flat rate farmer scheme is an alternative to VAT registration, and anyone who is already registered for VAT will deregister, and they're going to get themselves certified under this scheme. Now, they can only transfer and take the flat rate farmer scheme if they're doing what are known as designated activities. Those are listed in a statutory instrument, and they include, pretty wide here, crop production, stock farming, forestry, processing, and services. Incidentally, when you look at this list in detail, you find it's rather Gallic, because there are wonderful things in there, like frog farming as well. So how does this scheme work? Well, instead of charging and reclaiming VAT, there is no VAT reclaim, because clearly you've deregistered. And instead, you add what is known as a flat rate addition. That's 4% of your sale value, and you charge your customer. But it's important to appreciate that this 4% flat rate addition can only be added for sales to VAT registered customers. So if I'm selling lambs off my farm, for example, if I'm selling them to the local butcher, and he will be VAT registered, then I will add the flat rate addition. But if I'm selling to a punter who says, Michael, can I have a lamb in the freezer for Christmas? I'll get that properly slaughtered. I'll sell it for, say, £100, and there will be no flat rate addition added to that lamb. And the reason is that the customer is a punter. Now, so what? Well, it's this simple. The flat rate additions, the 4%ers, you are able, as the flat rate farmer, to put in your pocket. These 4% additions are not subject to VAT. They are, however, subject to direct tax. So you're going to pay income tax or corporation tax accordingly. Generally speaking, the flat rate scheme is not suitable for UK farmers. There's a good reason for that, and it's tied up with why it's suitable for European farmers. The reason is this. The inheritance code in the UK is primogeniture, and that means the eldest son gets the land. And the effect of that is that most farms in the UK have kept their size over the years. By contrast, in France, they operate the Napoleonic code, which means that all children inherit equally, regardless of sex. And so the upshot of that is that farms get smaller and smaller. And it just so happens that the flat rate scheme does work for quite small farms. So, having said that it's not generally suitable for UK farmers, who will it be useful for? The one that comes to mind is the market garden / small nursery. Remind yourself the reason for this. If I am a nursery and I'm VAT registered and I sell an ornamental plant for $3.99, I have got to declare the VAT out of that $3.99 and pay it over to Revenue and Customs. By contrast, if I'm a flat rate farmer, remember I'm selling to punters, I can't add the flat rate addition, but there's no VAT to come out of that money. So if you look at the VAT registered farmer, their $3.99 sale is reduced by the VAT, but the flat rate farmer keeps the whole of that $3.99. So he does have a structural advantage, and therefore that scheme is useful to people who don't have very great inputs. They grow a lot of their own stuff, and therefore they're not subject to lots of input tax. Okay, that's enough of the flat rate farmer scheme. Let's move on to input tax recovery. Of course, the basic rule in VAT, well known, is that what goes out determines what comes in. If I make taxable supplies, I'm pretty much going to get all of my input tax back. And if I make exempt supplies, I've got a problem, unless they're very small and they're under the de minimis limits. Right, so let's think about input tax. We've said that it's generally recoverable, but of course there is a problem if the purchase is of a car. But is it a car? In farming, there's lots of opportunities for what seemingly are cars actually not to be cars. And that's rather good news, because if it's not a car, it's not subject to the block. A van, of course, and an agricultural Land Rover would be classified as vans because they don't have the key features of cars, being seats behind the driver, windows, proper roof, and so forth. That does, of course, leave the dual cab pickup, which looks ostensibly like a car, but for VAT purposes, mercifully is regarded as a van, provided that the back axle can take 1 metric ton. There's another angle on VAT, input tax recovery, that I would just like to quickly mention, and that's claiming VAT on repairs on the farm, particularly the farmhouse. It's normal recovery rules, but there is an issue over the farmhouse. In most working farms, it's the kitchen that's actually the office, and all the major decisions are taken in the kitchen, and you kind of kick the dog off the chairs and everyone sits around and gets sort of great steaming buckets of tea, and then they talk about wonderful and exciting things and they make the decisions. And there is an agreement, an historical agreement, between the NFU and Revenue and Customs, which broadly says that providing the kitchen is the office, then 70%, it's quite generous, this 70% of the VAT on repairs on the house can be recovered. But there is one thing that slightly modifies that. There is the impact of the Lennartz case. Lennartz being a German case, which ironically was all about tax consultants and reclaiming a VAT on Mercedes cars. But the principle of the case has led to some major changes in European law, and of course the UK is part of the EC. The upshot of that is that it is possible to claim all of the VAT on repairs as an alternative to the 70-30 apportionment, and then to pay back little bits of output tax each quarter to reflect the private use. So it would appear that the Lennartz case actually overrides the apportionment, and it gives you a choice, and that may be relevant if cash is a bit tight. Okay, let's move on to something else. A quick word about partial exemption. And yes, farms are subject to partial exemption just as much as other businesses are too. And partial exemption is simply a recovery mechanism for businesses that make both taxable and exempt supplies. And there are two ways of dealing with the issue. There's the standard method, that's a one-size-fits-all, or indeed special methods. Now remember, the rule is that what goes out determines what comes in. Most farms, as we've said, will be making taxable supplies, but occasionally they will be making exempt supplies. Examples: letting of land without the option. We've just mentioned that one. But sometimes there will be the renting of domestic accommodation, perhaps spare farm cottages, which are let out on sort of buy-to-let, assured short-hold tenancies. Those inevitably are going to be exempt, and so a farm could easily end up being partially exempt. Most farms, in my experience, will use the standard method. That is, that the amount of input tax that they recover in respect to their overheads is split according to the value of taxable sales as a proportion of the total sales made. Under the standard method, you of course are required to do an annual adjustment to avoid seasonal distortions. But there is something that we just need to touch on our way through. There have been some changes in 2009 to the partial exemption standard method. Now, why? Well, it's widely recognised, I think, by Revenue and Customs, and indeed the trade, that the rules are fairly burdensome for small and medium-sized enterprises, and HMRC have agreed the need for the change. So, what are these changes? Well, it's basically this, that instead of having to do your calculations on a quarter-by-quarter basis, you can short-circuit the whole process by using last year's partial exemption recovery number and use that in all of the quarters, which of course are only ever provisional claims, and then do your annual adjustment as normal. The second change is the option to allow the annual adjustment to be completed and done in the last quarter of the year rather than waiting until the end of the first quarter of the next tax year. Now, what does this do? Simple. It achieves certainty earlier. It's an optional change like the other one, but it's going to be, I think, widely welcomed by the partial exemption community. There are some other changes in there as well, but to my eye, those are the two main ones that are going to affect farmers. Right, as we head on down towards the end of this podcast, let's have a look at land and buildings issues. First, construction. Farmers, of course, are subject to construction in the same way as other people. Indeed, they do construction. And the basic rule for construction supplies in VAT is that they are standard rated, currently 15%. That's the basic rule. So either into the farm or out from the farm, construction supplies are going to be standard rated. But there are, of course, some valuable zero rates and some kind of booby prizes, if you like, of the 5% rate. And these are generally to do with domestic dwellings. So if a farmer is, for example, converting sheds into dwellings and selling them, then there is the practice of putting those to be the zero rate, because that's required by Schedule 8 of the VAT Act. As far as VAT and property is concerned, let's remind ourselves about the basic rule. The basic rule is that supplies in land are exempt for VAT purposes. But that basic rule is overridden by two circumstances. The first is where statute demands that the exempt supply is made taxable at the standard rate, and the second is where people choose to. And of course, that's the option to tax, and that too defaults to a T15 supply. Examples of the statutory overrides which turn an E-supply into a T15 supply would be the sale of new commercial buildings. So if a farmer has built some warehouses, for example, on the edge of his land and he's sold those, that's going to be an automatic T15. And we've already mentioned game and fishing rights and holiday accommodation. Both of those default to T15. They're required to. You can't have those as exempt supplies. I didn't mention hotel accommodation, and very occasionally farmhouses are turned into hotels, B&Bs, and again, those are subject to standard rated VAT. You can't pretend that they're exempt. Now, as we head off down towards the end here, let's just remind ourselves about the option rules. We've got new legislation from the 1st of June 2008. Now, why is somebody going to opt to tax? Well, that's dead simple, isn't it? It's to recover input tax. If you're likely to have some bills, could this be a farmer, for example, that's thinking of converting his barns into offices and he's going to rent those offices out, but he incurs quite a bit of cost? It's going to make sense for him to opt to tax those newly converted farm buildings into offices in order to recover that VAT. The effect of an option, of course, is, and we've covered this in previous podcasts, so I don't propose to deal with this in any detail here, is that it binds the person who made it, and only the person who made it, and they are then required to both VAT the rents and indeed the final sale. But it's worth noting that the option is turned off in certain circumstances, for example, domestic accommodation or buildings which have got part domestic accommodation. The new rules for the option in June 2008 require that land and buildings be dealt with in a slightly different way than they were before. If you've got bare land, for example, you're thinking of renting farmland, then the key word is choice. You simply choose which fields, which areas you want to opt, and you send a map accordingly to HMRC. If you do opt over land and you subsequently build upon that land, there's kind of a phoenix effect. As the phoenix rises, the new building rises out of the ground, then it will be automatically cloaked by the pre-existing option over the bare land. There is, however, an option to get out of that, but the basic rule is that any emerging building will automatically be covered by the option. If you opt over buildings, remind yourself too that the rule requires that VAT, the option to tax, operates over the whole of the building. You can't kind of cherry pick just because some of your tenants won't be able to recover. Righto then, folks, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to say about VAT and farming. As I said, I've been necessarily a bit selective, but I think I've covered the important issues, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Cheerio.